जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्विज चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्विज चंद्र जय गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा जय ओम अघिनाशमिरण्यस्य ज्ञानाघिनाशलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचित्ताय मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामायां ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपसागरजातं सागना रघुनाथाम्बिसं तं सजीवम् सद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्रीराधा कृष्णा पादा सहगना ललिता श्री विशाखाम्बितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांचा राधा कांच नमोस्तुते सप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विषभानुसुते देवी फलममी हरि प्रिय वंचक पतरूभ्य कृपा सुचिता पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाचार्य गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा सो दिस आफ्टरनून वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग विद द एट प्रेयर्स दैट लॉर्ड चैतन्य eight prayers that came from Lord Chaitanya. Actually, a lot of preaching came from Lord Chaitanya, but not directly. This one is direct. He spent a number of days instructing and prayag his disciple, Rupa Goswami. And that's what we get among other books that Rupa Goswami wrote. The Nectar of Devotion and Nectar of Instruction. The contents of next level devotion, next level instruction, they are also from Lord Chaitanya. So for purposes of those maybe here for the first time, a little description about Lord Chaitanya. Krishna is God. Krishna name means all attractive. So he goes to different universes, different planets. Of course, the creation is his. And just like anybody that builds a house has a right to go inside the house, the Lord in his creation has a right to go wherever he wants to. He's above the law, by the way. He's a lawgiver. And so he performs different activities, which we call pastimes, for his own enjoyment and also to enthuse his devotees. The Lord came as Lord Chaitanya, combined Radha and Krishna. That's the same God that came for two reasons, internal reason and external reason. Now, the external reason is the one that connects to us. The external reason was to get us interested in chanting the holy names of the Lord so that we can go back home. This is not home. Every religion will tell you, you don't belong here. You have to get back home. Back home is the spiritual world. So in this particular age, the chanting of a holy name is the main connection to the Lord through the agency of a spiritual master, and it is a means by which we get back to the spiritual world. So the chanting of a holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That is the Yuga Dharma, the recommended chanting that gets us back to the spiritual world. Now, when the Lord was here, about 530 years ago, Lord Chaitanya came, spent practically all his time in India, but he went around the country and taught, got people very excited about chanting the holy name of the Lord, because that was a connection of us to spirituality and ultimately getting back to the spiritual world. He left 8 prayers, which we call Shiksha Astaka. Astaka means 8, and Shiksha means instruction. And so the governing body commissioner, Anuttama Prabhu, was here the last time he started the first verse. So today we're on the second verse, which is also what's on the screen. Okay. So we can read together slowly, because we can hopefully can read. Bob is hopefully is big enough for you to see. So we'll read together and also the translation together. Yeah. So let's start now. Nam nam akari bahuda nijasha vasaktis tatra pita niyamita spanane nakala ita dishita bhakripa bhagavan mamapi durdeva mudesham hajani nanuraga. Translation. O my Lord, together, your holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings. And thus we have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names, you have invested all your transcendental energies. There are not even hard, fast rules for chanting these names. O my Lord, out of kindness, you enable us to easily approach you by your holy names. But I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. All right. So this is the second shloka, the second verse. The first one talks about glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, the one that cleanses our heart of the dust accumulated for years. So this one, if you look at the very last line, it says, which means, I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for your holy names. So this second shloka emphasizes one's incompetence or lack of ability to take up the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Particularly, Dudevam means unfortunate, one's misfortune. That is the most significant word here. We have a huge opportunity. Sishirara Sharabihari Ki Jai. So, Dudevam means unfortunate. So that is the important connection to us. The text itself talks about the holy name of the Lord being able to render all benediction to all living beings. Because the Lord's name renders benediction, the Lord is absolute. The Lord is absolute. So Krishna's name is Krishna. Krishna's form is Krishna. So the holy name can in fact render benediction, which is what we need to get back to the holy name, spiritual world. So these transcendental names, the point is the Lord has invested the transcendental energies. So when we connect with the holy name, our real joy, not the material type joy, but the internal spiritual joy, is obtained. The problem is, we're not so good at connecting with them. And that's the misfortune we have. So we'll spend some time talking a little bit about the misfortune, give some examples, some analogies, and then how to turn that around. Mm-hmm. So, the verse here emphasizes the power of the holy name, while simultaneously recognizing the misfortune of the living beings. They lack the ability to fully experience its true nature. It is very interesting that in Krishna consciousness, as high and as broad as it is, still it takes a certain understanding to connect and to get the internal happiness that comes from that. Material life in this particular planet that we're on is back and forth. Sometimes you're happy, sometimes you're sad. Sometimes you're happy, sometimes you're sad. And we try very hard to make ourselves happy in all kinds of ways. Our children are in school now. The idea is they're going to struggle and try to get good grades so that later on in life, when they graduate as young men and young women, they could be more responsible in jobs or business. The idea is to be able to support ourselves. That's what practically everybody has done. Now, it has certain levels of success. Some people are able to be quite successful. You can say it's karma related, but we won't even get into that. And some people are not so successful. But we're all trying to live. And when we're able to meet our debt obligations, our expenses, and we have some money left over, and we have a decent place to live, we say we're okay. That's our definition of being okay. Well, I'm kind of smiling through all of this because we do think like that, but are we really okay? This is the place where we are trying to leave to go back to the spiritual world. We're trying to leave to go back. So if it's so great here, why are we trying to leave then? That's the first argument. These bodies that we have, how long does it last? Many of us are older now compared to the kids. The kids can run around a good hour, 2 hours before they slow down. Can any of the adults run the pace that the children can do? Not at this point. When we were little, we were able to. But when the body gets older, it slows down. And when it's even older still, it's going to slow down even more. To the point where some people will be using a walking stick, some people will be in a wheelchair. So if this is such a great life, the body alone is telling us that we're headed for a slowdown and finally death. What's so great about that? So sometimes when we are feeling a little more comfortable in the situation that we're in, we got to remind ourselves that we are only getting a little better arrangement of the situation we're in, which is, and I'll call this what it is, it's God's cosmic jail. This is a house of correction. This is a jail. That's why you can't get full happiness here. It's not possible. So the idea is to get out of jail to where the Lord himself lives, where everybody is happy and living forever and not getting old perpetually. That's home. That's the spiritual world. This is the material world. So here, because we have been envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have been put here. In different religions, they have different stories to describe the situation that wound those who were in front of us here. Some of them in Christianity, they'll say Adam and Eve. So many descriptions I've asked those who are in Islam, they will also have their story about how they wound up here. But nobody wound up in this place because God was happy with them. That is clear. Underneath every religion that talks about how the human being got here, it wasn't a good situation with the Lord. Here is envy. But envy also underlies all of the stories in the different religions as to how man came to this place. So by the Lord's mercy, we have to get out. So Lord Chaitanya came to show us, not just to teach, but to show us how to live the life of a devotee that is pleasant to Guru, that is satisfying the Guru and satisfying the Krishna, so that we can obtain the mercy to get back. So in this second sloka, we have the opportunity to chant the holy name of the Lord, but we don't do it so well. We lack the ability to connect or fully experience the nature, what the holy name gives us. So this is the position of an aspiring devotee. They can see, they can hear, they know the deed is here, they know the holy name is given, they know how to go to the holy name, we've done it a number of times already, but due to some limitations, we cannot fully engage ourselves. So today we'll talk about some of the major things that keep us from fully connecting with the holy names. There are quite a number of analogies here that I wrote, like somebody with a handicap. They can't walk, they can't talk, but they also know what normal life is like. They can see it, except they just can't connect well with it. Okay, that is our situation. Now, or say there is a feast. All the favorite preparations are there, but a person is not able to enjoy it because they are nauseous or they are sick. I mean, that's our situation. So we could enjoy it, but we can't. We could do it. The opportunity is there, but somehow, because of how we ourselves are feeling, we can't join it. So although Krishna gives us everything through the holy name, somehow we might say, and Chandamani Swami the other day was talking about, Krishna says, the key to your happiness is surrender to me. And some people say, well, that surrender to Krishna is asking too much. I have to have my independence too. What do you mean surrender to you? But when we think about it, if we believe that the Lord is creator of everything, including ourselves, what better situation could we have that's outside surrendering to the most magnanimous, most merciful, the most powerful, and the most loving being anywhere? And he owns everything. So Lord Chaitanya came not just to talk, but to show us how we can get excited and connect with the holy name, and therefore get love of God, Krishna Prema. So we may go through this process of chanting, of hearing, and sometimes we may do it in a mechanical way, but actually better to do it mechanically than not do it at all. Because through the chanting of the holy name, we can slowly, and this Sri Prabhupada emphasizes, it's a gradual process. When we do this without offenses, we'll get to the offenses in detail, the other part of this is about offenses, then we begin to feel the connection. Feel the connection. The connection comes from our real being. A real being, the real person, is the soul, and the soul is located in the heart area. That's why when we see ourselves, we touch like that, ourselves. The soul is located in the heart area. The happiness of the soul is what we're talking about. It's not material happiness. It is spiritual happiness. That comes from connecting with the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, unfortunate means the treasure is available, but something is preventing us from receiving it. Now, so what's the first situation with us? We're borrowing an American jargon for it. And just muzzle your ego a little bit, because I'm going to put it out. We're all crazy. Many some people don't believe that, but the higher beings see us as crazy. We don't see ourselves that way, but the higher beings see it that way. Now, here's an analogy. Say you are visiting an old friend, you go to their house, You knock on the door, you expect them to open the door. They don't open the door, but you try the handle, the door handle, and you realize the door is open. So what's going on? Maybe he's home, maybe he's not home. But if the door is open and nobody comes to the door, naturally you're going to want to sneak a peek and see what's going on inside. Maybe you should go in and help. Maybe a situation that's bad, that something. You begin to suspect something. So say you open the door, and now you go inside. Your friend is there. There's only one problem, though. Your friend sees you. He's on all fours. He's not standing. He's on his hands and legs, and he's barking like a dog. You go, why? All things, why are you acting like this? Why? Wake up, wake up. I'm your friend. No. More barking. And then he grabs, uses his teeth to grab your pants. It's like, you know, it's a crazy activity. So obviously, if you went to visit your friend and your friend acted like that, and you wouldn't even snap out of it no matter what you tell him, you're going to say, he's going crazy. Now, unfortunately, the higher beings see us like that, because they know what true happiness is, and we've joined with something that is false, and we're trying to make it better. They see us as crazy. Those in Brahmaloka, we're not even talking about those in the spiritual world. In Brahmaloka, the highest heavenly planet, it is the finest situation of consciousness. That's what they are. And so when you look at those of us in the middle type planet, like the earthly type planet, and how we're living our lives, and just, I don't need to go through the political situation around the world. It's just totally crazy. Nobody trusts anybody else. Nobody. And all the money that the countries are making, they are spending it on how to master killing themselves faster and better. What sense does that make? And they're supposed to be the advanced countries. No, they're not the advanced, the craziest countries of who they are. If you kill yourself, what do you have left? If you ruin the earth, how are you going to live in it? It's like you get up in the morning, you go up, you have a house, and you go up to the roof of the house, and you have a hammer and a nail, and you go to the roof, and you hit the roof with the nail, and punch a hole in the nail, in the roof. Small hole. Next time you go back up another place, then you hit, and you make a hole. Well, what's going to happen when it rains? Are you going to be comfortable in that kind of house? But that's what we do to the earth. We pollute it. And we call it advanced science. This is advanced craziness. This is not advanced science. Science can be used more responsibly. But we choose not to. Why? Because it's more profitable if we don't treat our wastes. There are things that can be used, can be produced, that are safe. Because I'm in that particular, you know, my background is chemistry, so I've seen enough of these things. The cheaper way, the more effective way, that's what they call it, the cheaper way to produce things, that's how they're going to go, because more profit. But the more profit at the expense of our bodies, at the expense of the body of the earth. So now we're putting it out like it is. We are all crazy. Because some of us are producing it, and some of us, the rest of us, are accepting the situation. Nobody's fighting it. This is just life. So we're like a human being which is on all fours, who's on all fours like a dog. This is our situation. And so that's why it's so difficult for us to connect with real truth. So that's the situation. Now, the other thing that we have to be careful of that keeps us from connecting with the essence of the Holy Name is offenses. Apparat. So this misfortune, the reason we're not able to connect properly is from apparat. In one sense, what we talked about earlier, the way we are destroying the earth, the way we are being part of just being an accessory to those things that destroy the earth, it's offensive to the earth. If somebody comes next to you and starts pinching you, Are you going to be happy about that? That's a dumb question, right? Obviously, nobody's going to, no, not going to be happy about that. Because why would you pinch me? It's my body. You give me discomfort when you do that. But it's like we pinch different parts of the earth. So that's the body. Mother Bhumi's body is the earth. And we keep pinching different parts of it. And worse still, we can't even do live and let live. This person says, well, I'm claiming this part of the earth, this mind. In the Bhagavatam, it says, Mother Bhumi laughs at people who do that. The whole earth is the mother of, I mean, the body of Mother Bhumi. And Mother Bhumi is claiming, well, look at them. They're going to fight, they're killing each other just to get a piece of my body. So that's how Mother Bhumi sees it. We are humans. We're supposed to be in this particular atmosphere for a period of time until we leave this place. So why are we making it more difficult on ourselves? So that's the craziness. We offend and we offend and we offend. So this misfortune of not being able to connect with the holy name to get the real sweetness from it results from offenses. So we will spend some time talking about, we talked about two things, the power of chanting, chanting the holy name, and then also offenses. So, this second sloka, it expresses the mood of lamentation. We are lamenting because we're not able to connect properly with the holy name. We have the opportunities, but we sometimes act offensively, sometimes we act rudely, sometimes we act without faith. All of that's there. Faithlessness keeps us from connecting properly with the holy name. Rude and offensive activity does not allow us to connect properly because those who are in the spiritual world do not live like that. They do not live like that. So, there are ways out of it. Associating with a pure devotee of the Lord, that's one of the ways. So, those who are free from all offenses, the pure devotees of the Lord, even when they utter the name of Hari, like in Hari Krishna, Hari, they immediately obtain liberation from material existence and they get more excited to serve the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead and his devotees. So, when we associate with pure devotees, or we associate with those who are 100% connected with spirituality, that is our spiritual masters, and connect by hearing them, because they preach, and now, because of technology, this is all in the internet, you can get different lectures at any time. So hear and apply in our lives. In doing that, then we will slowly kick out those things that are material, that stagnate our opportunity or our quest to go forward, to grow spiritually. So association, not just association of any devotee, but association with pure devotees. That gives us the opportunity to chant with the right, develop the right potency in the chanting of the holy name. And with that, slowly we connect with the holy name. Now, in Padma Purana, in chapter 46, Uttarakhanda, Shakrit Ucharitam Yena Hari Iti Aksharad Gayam Bada Parikarasena Mokshava Gama Mam Prati. The translation is, those who are free from all offenses and who utter even once the two syllables Hari, they become resolute to obtain liberation from material existence and service of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in a sense, you're talking to us to be free of offenses. When we are free of offenses, and then we utter the name of Krishna or Hari, then that desire to connect more with spirituality and to get away from material activity, we become less interested in material activities or what we call enjoyment materially. Srila Prabhupada actually describes it. We'll tell you about that later. What we call enjoyment. And then we get more excited to serve at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna as a deity, guru, and also the devotees. So we said just a minute or so ago about what we call enjoyment. Srila Prabhupada gave an analogy. We know the weather now, right? It's winter. And when we go out, we have to put more clothes on, especially a coat. Put a coat on. And Srila Prabhupada made the analogy, says, suppose a person that's quite wealthy, he's going out in winter. He's going to put a coat on, but he's going to put a coat that's quite expensive. It's flashy, nice coat, maybe a fur coat, whatever, but something that's quite expensive. Now, if you see such a person, you have a coat that's not so expensive, they have a very nice coat, you will notice it. You may not say anything, but it certainly hits you that this person has a very nice coat. And maybe that person may be a little proud of his coat too and say, yeah, see, I'm dressed up better than you are dressed up because I have a very nice coat on. But what is he really doing? What's the coat for? The coat is to counteract what? The cold. So is that really enjoyment? The coat may be nice, but its real function is to keep me from getting cold. So they are just counteracting, this is just counteracting the trouble that the weather would give if you didn't have a coat. That's all he's doing. Now his coat may be nicer than you, so this is what we call enjoyment. See, Prabhupada said, counteracting the problems that the material energy gives us, we call that enjoyment. Sometimes we try to counteract and it's so overwhelming, then we take to some things to make us forget for a while, like drinking, like taking drugs, just getting the mind for a period of time to forget about the troubles. But it's only for a period of time. And then you become sober again, and guess what? The problems are still there. They don't go away. They do not go away. Krishna has designed this place in such a way that nobody escapes trouble. Nobody. It doesn't matter whether you're the wealthiest person, you don't escape trouble. The body is going to get sick. You try hard, spend all this money, you got nice insurance. Well, nice insurance because you're going to get sick. Insurance will pay your bill. It doesn't mean you won't get sick. You still will get sick. So the discomfort will still be there. And if you try to do what you can to keep yourself healthy, the body is going to break down. It's going to get old. And old is default trouble. You can't, because I'm already there, so I can feel it. The other day I was talking to an old, I went to school at Brandeis University, graduate school. So there was this student there at the time I was there. I'm working with her now on some book that I'm writing. She's editing for me. She's 2 years younger than me. So we're all up there in that age. And we talked to each other and found out how old the body has become, and some things that we used to love doing, we have been forced to stop. She liked camping in the wilderness. She says she cannot lie on the ground anymore. It's just too, it doesn't matter. It's just too much for her. I have stopped playing tennis because my left leg won't allow me to do that anymore. To do the two games, two things I like, she liked. And yesterday we caught up and said, realized. But see, I wasn't surprised though, because that's the whole life. The body gets old, some things you can't do. To your papa in one lecture, he was saying, he remembers when he was younger, young man, or when he was a little boy, he was jumping up and down. He says, now I'm an old man, 70-something years old, I have to take the stick. So that's the body. So when we just live life based on material, trying to satisfy, as you know now, counteracting the suffering that material energy gives us, that's based on the body. Then we do nothing for the soul, and then we die, and everything gets taken away. Other things, whatever we've accumulated, we can't even use anymore. And if we have to come back, we can't come back to those things anymore, because you come with a new name, maybe not even to the same place that you were before. How can you own anything? It doesn't matter how wealthy you are, you can't get your riches the next life. You cannot. Sam Walton owns Walmart. He can't get anything in Walmart, any of the profits from Walmart the next life. He's already left the body. That's it. That's it. Can't get back to that wealth anymore, even though billions are there. So what's important is food for the soul, so that we can get out of this miserable place and go back to Godhead. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So if now your material situation is relatively better than others, in other words, it's decent enough that you can have some limited peace of mind, because peace of mind is never total. The weather alone never gives us peace of mind. If you can have some peace of mind, this is the time to take Christian consciousness seriously. Because it's a time that you can jump out of the material world and go back home. In Kali Yuga, as the 11th canto talks about, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse as time progresses. And all you have to do is to look around and see how things are going. Things are going down, 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 down. The politicians promise you, but they don't deliver. We know now, it's got to the point where when people are, you know, trying to get to the post of president, it comes to two people. The people have to decide, the citizens of the United States have to decide which is the less troublesome of the two. There's no point of now who's better, who's less troublesome, who's less likely to give us trouble than the other, and we choose that way. So we might get a little trouble rather than more trouble from the other person. But it's all trouble though. That's the problem. It's not getting better. So no matter what Maya is trying to make us think, that we're okay here, we're not okay. If we say you're okay, then that's our craziness. We got to get out of this place. Now, so basically what we've said in one sentence is offenses block our way back. Offenses block it. There are different types of offenses. Offenses to the holy name. And it comes sometimes, we'll talk about the 10 offenses later. Offenses to the holy name, that's namaparad. Offenses when we are doing service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the one that not many people realize that. They say, well, we're serving, therefore we're okay. We're going to get spiritual credits from it. But there are do's and don'ts when it comes to service. One big problem everywhere that sometimes devotees get themselves involved in and don't realize that it's aparad is lateness. When you're doing service and you don't do according to the time it's supposed to be done, it's already seva aparad. It's already seva aparad. Now, as far as coming to the temple, we're not talking about that type of seva. Coming to the temple, if you don't come early, you just miss out on the blessings before, because you miss Tulsi, that's one blessing that's gone. You miss Guru Puja, that's another blessing that's gone. Okay? So yeah, there is no rule that says be here, but everything is actually set up that the more punctual you are, the more benefit you get. That's a fact. Whether there's no arguing that point. You come early, you get more benefit. You come later, you get less benefit. Some benefit is there, but those who come early always get the full benefit. That's just the way it is. So then you make your mind up what it's going to be. We already know the material life is not going to give us the happiness. Therefore, we need to take the process seriously so we go back. And when you take the process seriously, everything about it also has to be taken seriously. Whether you're serving directly on the altar, or you're cooking, whatever it is, or whether in the temple room, the mentality must be taken seriously. Taken seriously. So, dhammaparad is offenses committed in the holy places of pilgrimage. Every temple is also regarded as a small holy place of pilgrimage. Every temple. Sri Prabhupada put it this way. Every temple is an embassy of the spiritual world. Do we know we have embassies around the world? And in a particular embassy, say India, the American embassy is in India, so that's one building. But it represents America's interest in India. So the temples also represents Krishna's interests, spiritual world interests. The business here is 100% for Krishna. So that's the way it is. All temples are embassies. And so what you do there is important. And by that, I'm going to throw in one thing, because some of you may know about it, some of you may not know about it, especially those who've been coming for a while. When we finish, this is probably going to fight on the street about this one, but I'm still going to say, when we offer obeisance, at any point, when you offer obeisance, you have to say, well, those of you who initiated, you have to say the pranams to the spiritual master. You have to say it. Those who are not initiated, you say Srila Prabhupada's pranam. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Sri Mahati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gurvani Pacharani Nirvishesha Sunyavani Pasthachari Chitarani while your head is on the floor. So if you've seen some of us, you go down, you get right back up, and you see some of us are still down all that time, that's what we're doing. We are saying the pranams of spiritual master. In ISKCON, it is required. So now you know. When you put your head down, you're initiated, say the pranams to the spiritual master. You're not initiated, say the pranams to Srila Prabhupada. Except Mother Vedangi, who is Prabhupada's disciple, so he has that's his spiritual master. No, her spiritual master. Okay. So that's one thing we need to start doing if we haven't been doing it. Okay. Every time you offer obeisance, like that, say to your spiritual master. Alright, now. So, seva parada, offense made, different kinds. You may come to a service, but come to do a service, come late, is not accepted. Come in an unclean state, that's also not accepted. Do everything clean, yourself should be clean. Okay. Consciousness when you cook, very important. We have actual experience of this. I lived in Gidanagri. My wife and I, Mother Nsuya and myself, lived in Gidanagri for about 21 years before we moved to Harrisburg. And it was a whole spiritual community. And so sometimes the grihasthas, we have our homes, in the weekdays we may cook in our homes, but definitely in the weekends we get together. That's the temple. We come to the temple, like a Sunday afternoon. And so we have prasadam there. And believe you me, it got to the point where these people just, most of the devotees are full-time serving. Our life revolved around the farm community, which is a spiritual community. There were devotees that made comments that, yes, I had prasadam, but I didn't feel satisfied with it. It's not the quantity. Some of you may have heard, I could taste the bhakti in it. You see, the consciousness of the person that's cooking goes into, especially the Papa mentioned the grains, it goes into it. So if you're cooking and your mind is on things negative, it will, especially those who have been devoted a long time, they can taste it, they can taste something wrong with it, literally. Okay, so that's again another problem. So we have to be careful. The easy thing is, if you're cooking, just in your head, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Or if some bhajans or kirtans is going on, listen to that. In other words, turn the mind away from all this stuff that is, junky material, and then put your mind on Krishna, indefinitely. And you cook, and then Lord tastes it; it will be wonderful in the end. Otherwise, that's also another situation. It causes a problem. So there's also again about chanting the holy name of the Lord. Some may feel capable of maintaining the same level of bhakti. And they think they can do that without chanting. In other words, those who do service but don't chant the holy name. Every service that's done is noted by the Lord. It goes into our spiritual bank account. But without chanting, the wonderful feeling that comes lasts only temporarily, for a short while. So you cannot replace chanting with other types of service. It doesn't matter what service you do, you also have to chant. That is part of it. Even if you're not doing any service at all, you still should be chanting. So chanting the holy name of the Lord is what really, this is what Lord Chaitanya came to do. Show us how to chant. So some people may be able to go on for a while because in previous lives they have good credits coming in and therefore life is a little easier on them. But still, it is in fact the holy name. This same holy name frees us from our offenses. Interesting, we're talking about be careful how we do, we chant Nama Parat, but the holy name has a potency to free us. If we take it seriously, if we chant from the heart or chant in a mood of desperation, and let me give you the example of a mood of desperation. We know that we are not pure. If you're like me, you're not pure. And therefore, if you're not pure, then they have some things that you got to work on. So at the time you're chanting, if you plead to your spiritual master and you plead to Lord Chaitanya, please help me out of this difficulty that I have, it obviously puts us in a mood of desperation because we want that away. Now, once you get in the mood of desperation, you cannot take your mind off the holy name. Your desperation doesn't make you just travel here and there mentally in different places, because then you're focused on what you're asking for. You're literally chanting, but you're also praying at the same time. So that's one way to keep us attentive. The whole point is to be attentive when you're chanting the holy name. Then it goes into the heart and we connect more with the holy name. Alright, so now we'll talk about the 10 offenses. 10 offenses against the chanting of the holy name. The first offense is to blaspheme devotees. Now, the simple way in which blaspheming devotees can be put in perspective is, don't do anything to make another devotee upset. That's all. Just don't upset other devotees. In other words, you got to be nice to devotees. It's also said in many, many other places, they're talking about sometimes you see something that's bad, sometimes you see something that's good. Well, that's not surprising because everybody has a high nature and a low nature. That's for everybody. Therefore, focus more on the higher nature. Talk more about the good qualities of a person and stay away from talking about the bad qualities of a person. If you talk about the bad qualities of a person, you really haven't said anything new. He's like this. My spiritual master, Haribo, we're in the material world. What do you expect? So, the wrong things are there, but we're trying to get back. So, we focus more on the good things. Why is everything going bad? Well, the same thing is, why am I not in the spiritual world? What do you think is going to happen? This is a place where people do bad things. It's called crime. There's no crime in the spiritual world, it's here. So, not that bad things are good, they're not. But we're saying, don't be surprised that it's there. That's the point we're making. Don't be surprised, and therefore don't make a big deal of it, is what we're saying. When you speak good things, thoughts have form. Thoughts affect the atmosphere. And the proof of that is, you may be looking, you can pick anybody and stare at that person. They're not looking at you. Somebody that's not looking at you. You can do that as an exercise if you haven't experienced that already. You can stare at somebody that's not looking at you for a good 3 to 4 minutes, and that person will turn and look at you. Will turn and look exactly at you. You stare at that person because you're thinking about that person. That thought goes in the person's, and then they connect with it, and they turn right to the person that's looking at them. Now, thoughts have form. Therefore, if you put good things out, then the atmosphere is clean. And if you put bad things out, the atmosphere is horrible. This is why Brahma Muhurta, that time from 3, 4, 5, is considered a very highly spiritual time. Why? Because that time in the morning, people who usually put negativity in the air or act negatively are not awake. The people, Saturday, they go do all kinds of stuff, all kinds of foul language is all going on. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, they go into their homes. 4 o'clock, they're sleeping. We are not putting that kind of stuff out anymore. Even the prostitutes have gone home. So the atmosphere is clean. So that's that time. If you do any, even if you study, you tend to grasp things a lot better that time of the morning. We give that time to the Lord because, in the Mangalati, because we want to go back home to give the best time of the day to the Lord. So blaspheming the bodies, that's the first offense. Please stop making the bodies upset. It's actually very serious. When someone blasphemes the body or makes the body upset, Srimati Radharani also gets upset with that person. And Srimati Radharani is the mother of devotion, and when he gets upset, Krishna is not going to favor you. So that has to stop. Second offense, considering the demigods equal to the Lord. There are specific ways to say, you know, the names of Lord Vishnu is not the same, equal to or independent of a holy name from the Krishna, Shiva and also Brahma. But in general, considering the demigods as equal to the Lord, the demigods are assistants of Krishna. Their power is from Krishna. And so they are not at the same level. So that's offense number two. To consider the names of demigod, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. They are not at that level. Third offense, disobeying the spiritual master. Disobeying the spiritual master. In all religious traditions, they don't call the word, they don't use the word spiritual master, but there's one particular personality that everybody looks up to. In Christianity, it's Jesus the Christ. Then Islam, you have Prophet Muhammad, peace be unto him, Baha'u'llah for Baha'i, everyone has. So here, we are fortunate enough to have one guru, but it's like one guru that's a tree, and the tree has so many branches, and the branches are the other gurus. There's actually one guruship, but because there are different branches of a tree who are different spiritual masters, we get more one-on-one help or closer help. It's like being in a school that has 100 kids and one teacher, as opposed to being in a school that has 100 kids and 20 teachers. The kids get more attention from the 20 teachers at school than just one teacher. So one teacher doesn't mean it's not good, but when you have more to teach you, then we get even more information about Adelaide. So those spiritual masters, they are also, that's one part of it, but the spiritual master is the representative of Krishna. Speaks only what Krishna talks about. Krishna transmits through the spiritual master and the spiritual master to us. And that's Krishna's arrangement. Therefore, we have no business disobeying the spiritual master. It's like disobeying the spiritual master means you would disobey Krishna. That's how the transcendental system sees it. If you disobey the spiritual master, this personality would disobey Krishna also. So therefore, they don't take you seriously. You can't make a connection with Krishna when you disobey the spiritual master. Spiritual master is the one that trains us because we're contaminated at this point. The spiritual master trains us to become spiritually civil. To become human and to also become spiritual. Now, speaking about coming to the human level, so there are four principles. We'll get to the Nama Prat later on, offenses the holy name. The principles are no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, and no gambling. Now, these are the ones that take us away from the pillars of sin. Drinking, gambling, having sex willy-nilly, and taking intoxications and eating meat. The body is designed for vegetables, not for meat. Science knows this, but they don't put it out because business dictates what science talks about and doesn't talk about. Anyway, so the regulative principles, we live by that. And it brings us to the mode of goodness, the human platform. Now, the four regulated principles themselves don't take us back to the spiritual world. But we have to live by that in order to go on. Some people make a lot of, we put so much into the regulatory principles, thinking that if I'm obeying regulatory principles, then I'm ready to go. Well, you do need to hear and you need to chant also, because there are even some animals that obey all four regulatory principles. Take any animal, just think. The ones that don't kill other animals, the ones that eat grass, they're already vegetarian. Do they drink? Of course not. Do they gamble? Of course not. That's already three. They don't drink, they don't gamble, and they eat grass. That's three of the four regulatory principles. The only one that's left is illicit sex. When the female ovulates, when the female is ready, then the male mates with that female. Here you go. All four of them. And they're animals. Can't even chant. So it's important. So some animals are doing it, right? So we better start doing it, because we're even higher beings than them. Rana Maharaj explained this. I hadn't even thought about it, but I said, yeah, it is true. It's actually true. So if regulated principles were the only ones to take you back to Godhead, then those animals should go back to Godhead, because they're doing it. They're doing it. So we need to live by that. Help each other by devotee association to live by the regulative principles. But it has to be Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Along with the regulative principles, along with not offending. Along with not offending. That's what actually connects and gives us more of the impetus to taste the holy name. Blaspheming Vedic literature. Offense number four. So, the offense number four is the blaspheming Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. Vedas is very, very, very extensive, encyclopedic, very wide, very vast, so many things. And I've always boldly said this, that the Vedas is ahead of science. There are a lot of things in the Vedas now, in Srimad Bhagavatam, that later on, when the equipment for the scientists gets improved, then they find out a few things that is already in the Vedas. And having been in research myself, later on things that, you know, people have talked about, and I mean, the school that I was at is one of the best in the world. It's in Boston. And therefore, the professors were also quite well known. Some of them have won Nobel Prizes and still keep winning Nobel Prizes in the school that I was at. Yet, they're just finding out things that I know it's in the Bhagavatam. How interesting that science is actually behind. So these books are precious. Even when they talk about material things, still they are ahead of science. And some things are not known yet by science. We already know. We can't get into the details, and then I'll be off this the offenses. I want to stay with the offenses. Blaspheming Vedic literature. Literature in pursuance of the Vedic version, Bible, Torah, Quran, those, they also talk about God, but not at a transcendental level, but they're still talking about God though, up to the mode of goodness. Therefore, we cannot blaspheme them or say bad things about them. Number five, considering the glories of chanting to be imagination. So, what it means is, considering it to be just a theoretical thing, we just do just to do. No, it is real. Krishna is absolute, so his name is Krishna. We should never consider the glories of chanting to be imagination. Or the next one, to commit simple activities when we're chanting the holy name. Or say, all right, well, the holy name is so powerful. I've done this sin, but if I chant this many, this is the seventh offense, this many rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then the Lord will forgive me. The fact that the mantra can in fact counteract our sins does not mean we take advantage of that situation and keep sinning. And that is the point. In some religions, some people, religionists, go through the whole week with some sins, and at the weekend they go and confess their sins. And then the priest says, all right, well, do such and such and such and such for atonement. And then the following week, they start to commit the same sins. And again, the weekend, they go and they You get something for atonement. And the third week, they do the same thing. It's a back and forth. Now, who do you think you're cheating? The Lord is not like that. The idea is to stop doing the wrong thing. Not just do it and get atoned for and then do it. And then it's like, you do it, you're punished, you do it, you're punished, you do it. The inconvenience, it's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. That doesn't take you anywhere. So that sort of thing, committing sinful activities and the strength to chant in the holy name. Now, eighth offense, chanting, considering it to be karmakanda, fruitive activity. If I chant, then I get this material thing. Chanting is spiritual. That's what comes. So we'll keep that short. It's not for fruitive activities. Like a ritual for fruitive activities. No. Okay. 9, preaching to the faithless. Now that one is delicate. Preaching to the faithless. If we talk about Krishna's name to somebody who does not want to hear it or does not believe in Krishna, there's a high chance that they will be offensive to Krishna. And they'll have to pay a price for being offensive. So then if you preach to somebody who is faithless, you're actually disturbing them and putting them in a situation where they will have to pay for negative activity towards the Lord. So best that if you're not interested, that you don't continue. But you can do one thing though. You can give them prasadam. Everybody likes to eat. You just give them some spiritual sweet or something that in their culture they're okay with, and they have that, and that is one way of supporting, helping them in their spiritual growth. If they don't want to hear that directly. Last one is to not have complete faith. To not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name. And if we don't have complete faith, it goes with another thing. We tend to be more attached to material things. Those things go together. Less faith, more attachment. Is it material or spiritual? You get away from spiritual, you're going to be more into the material. So to not have complete faith, anyone who wants to be a real Vaishnava devotee of the Lord has to be careful about these 10 offenses. And then the holy name, the sweetness of it, Krishna, will crank up a sweetness, so we actually begin to enjoy the whole process of being a devotee. Hare Krishna. Yeah. So thank you. And now, again, for those who are new here, this is the time that we open up for questions. You can ask questions now. Or even make comments if you want to. So this is the time. Any questions or comments? Only them alone, yeah.
So even if you follow that, even chanting also will not take you alone to the spiritual world.
Chanting can. The person is doing chanting and following the regular principle. Okay, go ahead.
So can he still go to the spiritual world and he's not doing any emotional service, for example?
Well, there are, let me just back up and tell you the answer is supposed to be yes. But I'm not gonna stay on yes, and here's why. Chanting alone can take one to the spiritual world. Chanting alone. There are 9 processes. Chanting is one of them. Hearing is another. Any one of them done perfectly can take a person back to the spiritual world. The problem is we don't do it perfectly. That's the problem. Maharaj Parikshit heard 7 days perfectly. We don't talk about him chanting. He didn't. He went back to the spiritual world. So yeah, the name, the holy name, chanting can take you back to the spiritual world. But because we don't do it perfectly, so then we have the opportunity to do other services, 8 more, hear, chant, then you pray, then you offer, then you serve the deity, so on, until you just, I'm just surrendering everything. So then, whatever we're able to do well, then it just accumulates and extracts the mercy, so we can go back. Because we're not good at doing any one of them perfectly. That's the situation. So, yes, one of them can take us back to the spiritual world if we do it perfectly. The only problem is we're not so good at doing it perfectly. That's a good question, though. Yeah.
Is there one of the offenses that preaching to the faithless person?
Yeah.
So,
Would that be wrong to do that? Yes. So the point is, when we say, see, the point he's making is, but you can preach to somebody who is not a devotee and be able to convince them to become devotee. So we're not stopping the preaching process. We're not stopping that. What we're saying is, as you're preaching, if the person is hitting back and getting more upset with you because you're talking about Krishna, then you stop. But there are some people who will, in fact, take to it. And some of us are examples. We just, we're also in Kami life, and when we heard the holy name, changed our minds, came, and stayed. Yeah. So it's only when the person is, you can tell from their body language, you can tell from what they speak back to, you know. We've had some, one Mataji, young woman, I talked to her downstairs, and I mean, whatever she threw at me for questions, we answered all of them. And then she says, I'm just not comfortable with what you're saying. It's not your fault. What I'm convinced is everything is false. Neti-neti. My bad philosophy. And he says, that's what I'm comfortable with. What could I do? I had to stop. Now, she had prasadam. That's good enough. But at that point, I can't do anything more. And I know my spiritual master also, his disciple's father came to visit him in Girinagi. Now, this father was an attorney and also a preacher. And so this disciple brought his father to my Maharaj's suite, and they got to talking. And Maharaj was determined, since he was, you know, a religionist, he was a Christian, that he would bring the connections of Christianity to Krishna and explain to him. But the man was dead set of not hearing anything about Krishna. And this would, I mean, my aunt quoted from the Bible so many times to try to convince him. And you can, in fact, use the Bible well. You can convince somebody about Krishna consciousness with the Bible. Without even the Bible, it is possible to do it. If you know the Bible well, you can. Because there's enough things that connect to reincarnation. It's all there. It's all there. Still, I'm not going to be part of this. So my aunt has to stop. That is stuff. So yeah, that's the kind of person we're talking about. They're not going to want to hear no matter what you do. Then you leave them home. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Yes. The body and soul.
The problem is, like, you know, that my mind is never accepting that I'm the soul, and I'm always acting like body. So that is the reason, like, you know, that I'm not a good day at all, love, affection, and devotion without my mind. So, my question is, like, you know, that it is true that we are not a body, but we are the soul.
Mm-hmm.
But, like,
The question is, it's been answered by Srila Prabhupada a long time ago. He said, I have come to teach you what you have forgotten. The problem is forgetfulness. Forgetfulness of our real identity. And so because we've forgotten our real identity, we are associating life with the body. That's the mistake. So, how do you act like a soul? Well, in this particular arena now, it's not even necessary to act like a soul. You don't even know what your soul does in the spiritual world. Talk about acting like a soul. Not yet. All you do is connect with the opportunity to go back. That's all you can do now. And that is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So hear, chant, and serve, and Krishna will do the rest. That's all. Hear, serve, and chant, and Krishna will do the rest. Krishna says, Ye yatama papajante, tam sitaiva bajami aham. To the extent to which you surrender, I reward accordingly. So he will reveal how to act like a soul to you by himself. He will do it. But if you connect the way the spiritual master says we should, then you'll be fine. So how do you act like a soul? Nothing to worry about. Just do this, and then it will be open for you. Mother Vedangi here.
Yeah, I have a comment.
Yes.
From my own experience and my own realization. And I see that the more we is in Shastra, we respect in the hand. So I've experienced that the more we honor respect to all the devotees, not just the Kanyakalokas, and also we tend to distinguish, make a distinction between if someone related, you're not dressed for
Yeah.
So if they, from the subconscious, go down with that person.
Mm.
But if we can just strive to not make any judgments, not to prejudge anyone, depending on their
circumstance, material circumstance. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Material perspective. Yeah. Even if
you
can't hold it, you just make some attempt to do that and respect all of the entities. Because we don't know who. We don't even know who the animal is when it comes to us.
Mm.
So gradually, if we do that, then we will start to develop that we really are not the fathers.
Mm.
And we read it in Shastra, we start to develop that. Really, Krishna will give you that realization, that humility, and try, even if you think, oh, I can't do this, it's just make some attempt. And gradually, you become stronger and come to that realization. But actually, you really are not in the body, so I can feel it, I can see it, Krishna's helping you.
Thank you very much. I hope most of you, if not all of you, heard it, but get to understand that, again, it's an instruction to the mind, that the Lord is in the heart of all living entities. The super soul is there. Therefore, that alone says we have to respect all living entities. So that way, Mataji said it in a much longer way, but thank you very much for putting it out. Yeah, good realization. Any other questions or comments? Okay, so we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.